Welcome to Campfire. Campfire provides solution-focused conversations to influence positive change for health, well-being and safety in agriculture. This podcast has been developed as part of Building Farm Spirit by the National Centre for Farmer Health.
Farmers are often described as being stoic and typically avoid seeking help. However, this is a stereotype, and it's not really helpful or even necessarily true. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and the National Centre for Farmer Health is increasingly seeing many farmers willing to talk about mental health and also recognise the benefits of looking after their mental health. How, though, is this turned into action? The Let's Talk Foundation is an organisation that helps with this. To find out how, we're joined for this Campfire podcast by John Parkinson, co-founder of the Let's Talk Foundation in Southwest Victoria. Thanks for your time, John.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here, Drew, and to anybody that's listening, I hope you get something out of the following conversation.
Alongside John is Abby Power, Community Activation Lead in Warrnambool for the Let's Talk Foundation. And thank you, Abby, for your time as well.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Abby and John, your organisation, Let's Talk, it's all about breaking mental health stigma. That is a nice summary sentence, but I wonder how you actually go about breaking mental health stigma, particularly in the farming community, where perceptions are, it can be pretty entrenched.
Yeah, you're right, Drew. I've been a mental health clinician for nearly 50 years, and in my time, treatment options and all that, as an awful lot has changed in that. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the shame and embarrassment with having a mental illness. And people tend to hide away, they isolate themselves. It's a real shame because what happens is if they continue to isolate themselves, for some people, they actually start to think that life isn't worth living. And that was the origin of the Let's Talk mission way back in 2016, where we lost in Southwest Victoria. We lost 16 people that particular year. I had the privilege to spend some time with some bereaved parents. And he asked me one day, why wouldn't my son talk to me? And I said, that's the easiest question you've ever asked me, because of shame, embarrassment, feeling like you're not up to your own expectation or the expectation of the community itself. And we sort of thought, well, this needs to change, because he also started getting people opening up to him that they had suffered depression and anxiety and stress-related problems for many years, and they were ashamed of it. So we're in for a long haul, absolutely. But I see within our area down here that we are starting to make a difference. There's numerous examples where, following presentations as Abby or myself has done, people have reached out. Some people have gone to two or three presentations before they've had the courage to step out of the hiding and have a conversation.
And Abby, I'm guessing you're seeing that as in your role as community activation lead as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, going back to how we actually go about breaking that mental health stigma, because as we know, it's seemingly entrenched in farming communities, especially in terms of how we actually go about that. I guess the first point to make is that checking in on each other, looking after yourself, those sorts of things, but also just caring enough about somebody else to ask how they're going is really a really important first step in breaking that down.
It is a really important first step, and it seems logical. And I hark back to what you just said, John, about that was the easiest question I've ever been asked. But it seems like a big step in terms of putting that in place.
It is a big step.
Or maybe not a normal step.
Well, what's normal? You know, I'm still trying to figure out that myself and 66 years of age, what is normal? There's a spectrum of what's considered as appropriate behaviour or appropriate lifestyle or appropriate success. But the message of the foundation is that we are very much an individual. We are shaped by our experiences, our genetic loading, our successes, our failures, what we learn from our failures. So with the farming community, and I come off a dairy farm, but it's certainly changed a lot since I was 17 years of age. But the principles are still the same, is that the farmers are on their job 24/7. It's difficult because every time they look around, they see a job. They don't have control over weather patterns. They don't have control over prices. And It's always the unknown that is really, really hard for anybody to deal with. So whether you're a farmer or whether you're, you know, working at Coles, the principles are still the same. When you see somebody that's out of sorts from what they usually present themselves with, you don't take a step back, you take a step forward. And the way that you approach that very small moment in time is absolutely critical, whether you get somebody that's going to be upfront and honest and say, nah, look, I'm going pretty shit. Things are being tough for me later. And the follow-up to that to the listener is, don't feel like you have to know all the answers. Just listen. We are losing the art of listening at a rapid rate because all the information now is by all these other mediums. We need to get back to the fact that we are human beings, we're social creatures, we will make mistakes, we'll have some successes, but it's how we get through those tough times is by leaning on those that care and love you around you.
John, you explained that really, really well, but not everyone has the confidence and courage to have that conversation with a farmer or a friend. So what are the tips to get the ball rolling and helping people take that step?
I guess in terms of starting that ball rolling, one of the sort of conversation starters that's a really great go-to for people is starting with an observation about the person. So you might say something like, look, I've noticed a bit of a change in, you know, your mood or your behavior, or, you know, you usually come to the pub on a Friday night, have a beer, you haven't been doing that for a while. Basically, by pointing out to somebody that you've, as an outside person, you've observed a noticeable difference in them, is often a really great first step for people to A, begin to open up to somebody else, and B, realize that actually maybe they really are struggling more than they thought. And so it's really about choosing that right time, right place, right environment to have that conversation. If you are approaching someone that you're concerned about and want to talk to them, especially with our farmers, they're hard workers. As John said, they're living, breathing, working the farm. And so potentially, you know, it might be a conversation in the sheep yards. As an ex-stock agent, I used to go out all the time on farm and have these sorts of check-in conversations with someone while you were drafting a mob of sheep, while they're working, while they're entrenched in what they're doing, talk about it. And often information and opening up and talking about things will flow freely for them. The other analogy I like to think of, especially with farmers, is having a conversation like this is often best done side to side, shoulder to shoulder with somebody. It can be really confronting when you are eyeballing, staring somebody down, face on to them and asking how they're feeling, expecting them to actually open up. But that shoulder to shoulder, side to side analogy can be really useful of, you know, jump in the ute, go for a drive around the farm, sit next to them, and they're going to feel a lot more comfortable opening up and sharing some potentially intimate details when they're not confronted face to face.
We're talking about active listening, I guess. Why is it so hard?
Because I don't think we do it very well, because we're losing the art of conversation because, as I said, Drew, all the other mediums. I think about, you know, we're in such fast pace now, and I'm guilty of this myself and that, you know, I'll be listening to somebody and after they've said the first statement, I'm already starting to think about what I'm going to say back. Give people time. You know, one of the tragedies now is we're not comfortable with silence and long pauses. It all ties into self-care, really. Just try and relax. Life is going to be there tomorrow. You don't have it all to get it all done today. So it's how you actually program yourself to take your time more freely and not feel under pressure. I guess what I've learned and observed through my career is that our brain is a magnificent organ, but it has a breaking point too. You know, there's been all these research and studies and so many people saying they're stressed. But my question to them is, why are you stressed? Are you taking on too much? Are you extending your reach? We're all different. We all have different capacities, different aptitudes, different intelligence. The secret to life is where you find you fit within communities itself.
I really like those insights there. And I was thinking while you were talking, the old analogy of two ears, one mouth, you know, take your time rather than trying to fill the space all the time. There must be considerations, though, in terms to responding to what they're saying, though.
Everybody likes to feel validated and feel listened to. You know, if somebody was to tell me that they were feeling terrible and this has happened in their life, the worst thing you can do is, oh, well, there's a lot of people worse off than yourself, or toughen up, or all those other statements that historically we've said in the past. The foundation is about allowing people the space to talk freely and feel as if they're listened to. And as I said earlier, you know, don't feel like we have to know all the answers, because nobody knows all the answers. But the start of treatment is having a forum where somebody can actually ventilate it out. If, however, things, you know, don't resolve themselves after a period of time, then it's time to take the next step. And I guess, you know, if you share a problem, you might actually spare the problem, because that other person that's actually listening to what the person's, you know, going on about or suffering from may have some ideas, but they're not going to have any ideas if you don't let them in.
Abby, what's going on in your mind when you're trying to actively listen?
Really having the person's experience being validated, really focusing on what's being said, focusing on what's not being said is just as important. So often it's easy for us to be hung up on the words that somebody says without actually focusing on what they are potentially trying to say, or what their body language is showing us, or, you know, they might be giving us some visual cues that play a huge part in how they're feeling. So I think looking at all of that, taking the whole holistic picture of what's going on for that person.
Okay, I'm actively listening, but I still want to keep the conversation going. I want to have silences and contemplation, but I need to ask some questions. Should they be general? Should they be open? Should they be direct? Should they be personal? I guess there's so many factors there, including how well you know the person.
Absolutely. So I think the first point that I make is that when we're checking in on someone, we're not expected to be a counsellor or to have all the right answers or know exactly what to say. So my first point there is that often caring enough to have asked them and to be checking in with them is really, really important. Secondly, if you're, you know, encouraging conversation, you want to ask really open questions of somebody. Of course, if they're yes or no questions, you might get limited answers. Whereas if you're trying to have someone express or open up with you, you're going to want to ask questions that allow them the space to say more, to add more, to add in whatever it is they like. In terms of how well you know someone, that's always going to affect the type of questions you ask. And of course, you know, you're likely to have a different sort of conversation with your best friend versus someone you don't know very well. However, as I go back to, you know, the fact that you've cared enough to check in makes a really big difference. The other option is, if you feel like maybe you're not the right person necessarily that can make that difference or have that person really open up to you, then maybe it's looking at other options. You know, potentially speaking to someone else who may be able to support them, or directing them in the direction of someone who is potentially closer to them who could make that difference if it's not you. I always use, in terms of our farmers, the isolated sheep analogy. So, you know, you jump in the ute, you go look at your mob of ewes, and if you see one ewe off on her own away from the mob, there's generally something going on with her. Now, that might be lambing, it could be anything. And chances are, if you go back there, if you leave her isolated and you go back there a couple of days later, she's probably not with us anymore. And so humans and sheep work very similarly in that sense. And we don't want anybody being isolated. It's not good for us. We know that. We're social creatures. We work best in a mob. Then what that requires is, if that ewe's off on her own, often it takes some intervention. And it has her coming into the yards and we pay her specialized attention. So we want to do that with people in our lives too. And just remembering that isolated sheep analogy could be really helpful.
I reckon it's a great analogy. And I like the fact that you first of all said, look, you know, there's some things you can't help with. We're not all experts. I'm not a vet. You're probably not an accountant either. So it doesn't have to be pointing them straight to a counsellor, does it? It could be pointing them to, well, have you spoken to a vet about this issue, or your accountant?
Yeah, you're on it there, Drew. If we go back to the start, the foundation began with three main principles. One was to break the stigma associated with people suffering mental ill health. The second one was to, get the community to wrap around itself around each other's when they know people are struggling, and getting people to seek help, which can take many, many, many forms. It's not always they need to go and see a professional. it's the start of it. It's just, as I said earlier, you know, sharing the issue that's not settled in your head that you're worrying about constantly. We're about improving the health literacy of every single community by engaging community and educating about those three main principles. Self-care is a huge one. We don't do it anymore. As human beings, we've lost the art of planning to some respect. We're very crisis-driven. You know, we pretend it's all going to resolve itself or we'll avoid it. And I'm as guilty as that as anybody else. But for these sorts of psychological or even psychiatric problems sometimes, there's usually an intervention that is required. But an intervention, for as far as the foundation is concerned, begins with having a conversation with somebody who's not going to judge you, who's going to have some level of empathy and will listen to you with care and consideration.
Begs in my mind the next question. You've had that conversation. You've said, look, really, you need to speak about this to X, Y, or Z. I assume there's a follow-up that's needed. You just can't walk away and go, well, I hope they went and did that.
So I guess the first thing is that there shouldn't really be an expectation on anybody. However, we like to think that, yes, if we've cared enough about somebody to check in on them, that we would like to see them through to getting the support and the help they needed. There's plenty of resources out there available, and often it's about for ourselves. Self-care can look like knowing our own boundaries. And so given that the large majority of us are not mental health professionals, it's then knowing where we can send people that makes a really big difference if we feel like the support they need is outside of our scope. So that's a really important protective factor for us as well when checking in on others.
Lastly, John and Abby, you've been in this space for some time. Can you each give an example of how you've had a conversation with somebody that's turned things around for someone who wasn't perhaps travelling all that well?
I can give you at least 50 examples where people have sought help following a presentation the Let's Talk Foundation has done over the last 6 years. Clearly, I can't say their names because of privacy and confidentiality, but I have a really good relation with the primary healthcare providers across this area. And eventually they started ringing me up saying, oh, we've just had such and such in here. And he went to one of the Let's Talk presentations and now he's here. He's been depressed for about 10 years and decided enough's enough and he wants to start some treatment. That's not isolated, Drew. That is at least 50 occasions that I know of personally over the last 6 years. So I think that the foundation is sort of when we present, the key factor, I suppose, is engaging the audience so they believe we're worth listening to. They will benefit from what they're hearing. And I think it's funny you talk about farmers. My idea is that we go away, we plant seeds through presentations. We give people things to think about later on that evening or the next day or the next week, or they will start to talk with other people that have been to presentations. Only last week I was getting feedback about this, that our presentations were very reflective and it sort of instilled in people things to think about within their lives that they're not entirely happy with and they have the ability to change.
That must be incredibly satisfying and rewarding to get that sort of feedback. What about you, Abby?
So for me, it's more so the times when I've been on farm in the past with farmer friends, for want of a better word, and gone and had conversations and just asked them how they're going. That really simple question of how are they going and how are they feeling? And I had somebody open up, was not as willing to open up to me, sort of brushed that question off a little bit. And I guess, had the courage to keep going and keep asking more questions. And I went beyond the initial, how are you going, into, okay, look, I've noticed a bit of a change in you. You seem a bit grumpy or, you know, we're in the sheep yards and you're yelling and a bit more than you usually do. So what's really going on? Open up to me. I'm here for you, in that kind of capacity of a conversation. And it had him open up and share a few things that he was dealing with, like succession planning. That can be a really stressful thing for farming families. And so I then knew that that was outside of my scope. I'm not trained in succession planning. And so I then suggested that this person go and seek some counselling, some professional guidance, maybe a rural financial counsellor. And they went and sought that help and it made a huge difference to them. And I just checked in next time I was out there, had another conversation, just checked in on how that had gone. And it had made a really big difference. But for me, what I noticed, the main thing was my empathy and my compassion and courage as well. I really had to put my own thoughts and feelings and opinions to the side to be able to support this person for their best interests.
That's really critical, what Abby just said there. It's not about us, it's about the person that you're actually trying to engage. And if you're serious about it, you have to orientate into that moment 100%. And the other thing Abby said that I just wanted to reaffirm, it's the way that you say it. 87% of effective communication is your body language and your vocal inflection, how you actually say it. So the content is only 13%.
Lastly, John and Abby, where can people go to find out more information?
Feel free to visit our website at www.letstalkaustralia.org. Alternatively, they can email us at hello@letstalkaustralia, or one word, .org.
John and Abby, you've given some great insights from a lifetime of experience. Thank you, John Parkinson and Abby Power, both from the Let's Talk Foundation, for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Drew, and I hope the audience who listens to this gets some takeaways out of it.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information about Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. Series 2 of Campfire was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's Flood Recovery Funding through Agriculture Victoria. For more resources to support your flood recovery journey, please access the #BuildingFarmSpirit page on the NCFH website.